Does your prayer time include time to listen to God? Find out why it should. This is the Looking for More podcast, connecting Christians who feel disconnected from the church, with your host, Shirley DeMerchant. This is episode number 18, Learning to Listen to God in Prayer. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining me on this podcast. Today, I want to talk about listening to God, and I would like to share a sermon that I preached a couple weeks ago on this topic. The title is called Learning to Listen. The text is 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to be reading the first 10 verses of this chapter, and I'm reading from the New International Version. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Well, this is already the end of January. February starts this week. And many of us have already broken our New Year's resolutions. I think February is a good time to start with new resolutions because most people expect not to keep their resolutions very far into the year. I would like to suggest today that one resolution each of us might consider is a resolution to learn how to listen to God in prayer. I would like to show how, from the example of Samuel, that one, he learned how to listen to God in prayer, and secondly, it had a profound impact on his decisions. Because he learned to listen to God in prayer, Samuel, as an adult, made very different decisions than he would have if he had not learned to listen. I wonder if you are good at listening to God. Most of us would have to admit that in conversations with one another, we are more comfortable talking than listening. Perhaps your friends or spouse have told you that. It's important to listen. That's part of what a conversation is. However, when it comes to prayer, we often describe prayer as talking to God. And that's only partly true. If you meet someone and they just talk to you, is that really a conversation? There have been times when I have met people and they did all the talking. And then we had to leave because we had other things to do. And it has always left me empty, sometimes even resentful, that the person I met only thought about what they had to say, and they did not engage me in conversation by listening to what I had to say. When it comes to prayer, we need to remember that it's more than talking to God. Prayer is a conversation with God. That means there is both speaking and listening. In the Christian church, I think we make a big assumption about prayer. I think we believe that prayer comes naturally. Now, in a sense, it does, because it doesn't take much to call out to God. However, effective, persistent, meaningful prayer does not come naturally. Otherwise, all of us would be much better at prayer than we are. I think the assumption that we make in our churches is that anyone can pray and we don't need to learn how to pray. It reminds me of when I began teaching Sunday school. I was only about 14 or 15 years old when I was asked in my little church if I would teach the kindergarten class. I was very pleased to be asked. I had never taught before, but I thought this was a good chance to contribute to my church in Sunday school because I had been brought up in Sunday school. Well, when I was asked to teach and when I said yes, I was just given the leader's guide for teaching that class. There was no instruction on how to teach. I was handed the leader's guide and told to go teach. It was assumed that all you needed was the leader's guide and you would know how to teach. And that is so untrue. Well, it's similar in our approach to prayer. We assume if you can talk, you can pray. But that is not true if all our praying is speaking. When we see Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, he is a boy. Scholars say he was likely 12 or 13 years old. And he was under the mentorship of Eli the priest. Now, Eli was not a very good priest. If you read chapter 1, Samuel's mother, Hannah, prayed for Samuel. She prayed for a son, and Eli could not tell the difference between a woman's fervent prayer and the behavior of a drunken woman. Also, Eli failed to raise his own son to have respect for the Lord. So, in many ways, Eli was not a very good teacher. But in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Eli taught Samuel a lesson that would impact his life and the people of Israel. He taught Samuel how to listen to God. I believe what Eli taught Samuel can also profoundly impact our lives by making a difference in the decisions we make because we have listened to God in prayer. I would like to leave this chapter for a moment and look at three decisions that Samuel made as an adult and see how, because he listened to God, Samuel made different decisions than if he had just talked to God and done what he thought was right. The first passage I would like to look at is 1 Samuel chapter 8. This chapter begins by saying that Samuel grew old and he appointed his sons to be Israel's leaders, but the people rejected his sons because they were dishonest, they accepted bribes, and perverted justice. That is according to verse 3. Instead, the people of Israel looked around and saw that all the other nations had a king, and they demanded that they also have a king. In verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says that the people demanded, "Give us a king to lead us." Now, this displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. Samuel was upset. The people of Israel were intended to be people led by God, not people like the other nations. This disturbed Samuel, for he knew God's intent for Israel was that God would be their king. Samuel wanted the people to change their minds. If it had been up to Samuel, I believe Samuel would have argued with the people and tried to get them to do what he knew was right, and that is to allow God only to be their king. However, when Samuel prayed, it tells us in verse 7 that the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." That must have brought great relief to Samuel, that he didn't have to take this personally, that this was actually rebellion against God. Well, Samuel went on in the next few verses to remind the people of what it would cost them to have a king. For example, there would be taxes and also conscription. And yet in verse 19, we read that the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." Verse 21 says that when Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." What a difficult place for Samuel to be in. He wanted to be faithful to the Lord, but the people he was leading did not. Many church ministers find themselves in this situation. They want to be faithful to the Lord, but they find themselves sometimes leading a congregation that they know is making the wrong decision, or a congregation that is not committed to following Scripture. What are their choices? Well, they could quit and walk away. I think that's what Samuel wanted to do if the people could not see that their choice was wrong. However, Samuel was able to set aside his feelings of disappointment in the people. He listened to the Lord and did what the Lord said. He allowed the people to have a king. I am quite sure that God's decision to give in to the people is not the decision that Samuel would have made if it had been up to him and if he had not listened to God in prayer. The second passage I'd like to look at is 1 Samuel chapter 15. In the chapters leading up to this one, we see that Saul quickly proved to be a poor choice as king. He was rebellious. He was disobedient. He blamed other people. He was deceptive. And so God, through Samuel, informed Saul that God had rejected him as king and that God would choose another king to take his place. 1 Samuel 15 ends with these words: "Until the day Samuel died, he did not go to see Saul again, though Samuel mourned for him, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel." Samuel was heartbroken by Saul's failure to be a godly leader. Samuel had invested so much into Saul. He had been there as a spiritual leader, but Saul did not have the heart of a godly man. And for this, Samuel mourned. He also mourned for the people, for a leader's failure always impacts those that he or she is responsible to lead. 1 Samuel 16 opens with this statement: "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul?' since I have rejected him as king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." There is such an important lesson here. God validated Samuel's warning, for God too was disappointed in Saul. But God did not allow Samuel to stay stuck in grief. It is so common that when we are faced with a great disappointment in our life, sometimes we cannot move on. When we grieve the loss of another person, it's possible to get stuck there. I remember a good friend of mine who lost one of her sons in a fire, and even up to her dying day, whenever she would talk about her son, you would think that he had recently died, and yet it had happened decades earlier. She never got past the loss of her son. Now I know that the grief of a loved one, particularly a child, is profound. And I found it helpful to, when I first heard that we will never get over the loss of someone, but we can get through it. Grief hits us hard, but we don't want to get stuck in our grief. We must move on. And this is one place in Scripture where God tells someone, Samuel in particular, don't get stuck in your disappointment. You need to move on, for I have a plan. By listening to God in prayer, Samuel knew when it was time to put his grieving aside and take the next step. The third time in Samuel's life when listening to God made a profound difference in his decision is in the rest of 1 Samuel chapter 16. God told Samuel to go to Jesse and to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king. When Samuel went to meet Jesse, and Jesse had his sons come one by one in front of Samuel, we find that Samuel learned an important lesson. When the oldest son of Jesse stood before Samuel, it tells us in verse 6 that Samuel thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." It was the culture of that time that an honor like this would be given to the oldest son. And also, this oldest son of Jesse must have looked impressive for Samuel to think this. But the Lord spoke clearly to Samuel and said, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." This is such an important truth for all of us to remember. So often we make decisions based on what we see, but God sees people and circumstances differently. When God said that to Samuel, Samuel had the next son of Jesse stand before him, and God said the same thing. And then the third son and the fourth son, by the time he got to the end of the line, Samuel must have been thinking, "Ah, the last one is here. Surely this is the one." But God said to Samuel, as the last son stood in front of him, "This is not the one." Samuel must have been shaken. Surely the Lord had made a mistake. The Lord had said that one of Jesse's sons would be the next king, and Samuel was to anoint him, but each son that stood before Samuel, God rejected. Have you ever had that experience where you were sure you heard God clearly? You obeyed what the Lord said to you, and bang, the door slams in your face. And obviously, the path you were going on was not God's will. If that has ever happened to you, it can lead to self-doubt and fear of making mistakes and this sense that you can't trust your ability to know God's will. This has happened to me more than once. Well, I think Samuel must have too thought, surely the Lord has made a mistake. And I think the Holy Spirit must have planted that thought in Samuel's mind to ask Jesse the question, are these all your sons? Because when he did, Jesse said, oh yes, the youngest son David is a shepherd. He's out caring for the sheep. And so Samuel told him to go and bring David. When David came, God said, this is the one. And David was anointed to be the second king of Israel. If it had been up to Samuel, he would have chosen another son of Jesse because he did not know that one son was absent. Listening to God in prayer profoundly impacts the decisions we make and impacts the lives of those around us. When we look at the life of Samuel as an adult, we see that he was able to obey God even when he disagreed with the people he was leading. We saw also that Samuel was able to move on and not get stuck in grief and disappointment when he listened to God who told him when it was time to move on. And Samuel was able to wait and to choose God's man for king when it looked like God had made a mistake. So, do you desire to hear God's voice in prayer? By now you're probably wondering, I want to be able to do that, but how do you do that? Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I just want to make three brief observations from this chapter that I hope will help you learn to listen to God in prayer. The first observation is this. When God spoke to Samuel, it was nighttime. Eli was lying down. Samuel was lying down. It was dark. It was nighttime. It was quiet. One of the first things we need to do if we are going to learn to listen to God is we need to learn to find a place of quiet. These days that is so hard. We are so busy and our lives are noisy. If we're going to learn to listen to God, we're going to have to learn to turn off the radio and the TV, pull the earbuds out of our ears, and practice listening to God. Now, I enjoy my technology, and so I find it challenging, as most of you do. I really appreciated these words of Ruth Haley Barton. She says, I am aware of longings that run much deeper than what technology can address. I am noticing that the more I fill my life with the convenience of technology, the emptier I become in the places of my deepest longing. I long to be one who waits and listens deeply for the still, small voice of God, even if it means I must unplug from technology in order to become quiet enough to hear. Solitude is an opportunity to interrupt this cycle by turning off the noise and stimulation of our lives so that we can hear our loneliness and our longing, calling us deeper into the only relationship that can satisfy our longing. If you want to learn to listen to God in prayer, we need to decide on a place and a time where we can be quiet. If you're a morning person, it might be before your day starts, Or you might do it at lunchtime when you have a break from your work. Or if you're a night owl, that time of quiet might be late at night or very early in the morning before you've gone to bed. For me, it's morning. I find the time when I'm most alert is before breakfast. Before I have listened to the news or checked email, I want to hear God's voice first. So first, we need to find a place of quiet. Secondly, we need to be in the position of a listener. Many of us are used to talking to God, but it takes practice to learn to listen to God. I want you to pay attention to the instructions that Eli gave Samuel. Eli, when he realized that Samuel was hearing God's voice, taught Samuel to say these words to God, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Those words are so simply stated. I believe that if we just learn to say those words and have the attitude of a listener, God would be delighted to speak to us. I would like to encourage you just to practice saying those words. Speak, for your servant is listening. And then listen. Find time in your day, even if it's just 5 minutes. Sit quietly and say those words. Speak, for your servant is listening. Now, if you do that, you might find that nothing happens. Well, don't worry about it. God is not like a genie. These words are not a magic formula. We cannot tell God when to show up and when to speak to us, but we can practice being in the position of a listener so when God wants to speak, we are ready to hear. Well, it's not too late to come up with a New Year's resolution for the rest of the year. I encourage you to consider making this a commitment that this year you will seek to listen to God in prayer by finding time in your day when you can be quiet, and secondly, by saying these words, "Speak, for your servant is listening," and then taking time to allow God to speak. Well, may the Lord bless you as you seek to grow in your faith through prayer.